Starting today with Apikoros, and we're on Daf Kuf, and we're going to start at the bottom, and it says Daf is Kuf, we're going to start at the bottom of Tzadi Tedem Abet. What is Apikoros? It's from Epicurean, okay, which was a person from around the 3rd or 4th century BCE. He was known for being a materialist, okay, he was anti-superstition and anti-divine intervention, which connects, right, the superstition maybe connects less with our you know, what our sense of an apikoros is, but the divine intervention, that is, he was against anything like that. And it wasn't exactly hedonism, but it was all about, you know, having materialism, things, enjoying things.
It was about enjoying life now while you can and really right. Living it up. It was sort of the extreme end. This right. Is something completely different. But.
Okay. Anyway, we'll stick with that for right now. And we're going to see that, in other words, that's the root of the word. The question is, what exactly does it mean? And we're going to see many different interpretations. So we're going to start with a machloket. Rav Rabbi Chanina. Okay, we're about 15 lines, 12 lines from the bottom. Apikoros, two dots. Rav Rabbi Chanina, Amrei Travayu. Zeh ha-mevazeh tamid chacham. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amrei. Zeh ha-mevazeh chaveiro bifnei tamid chacham. Okay, so according to one, you embarrass the tamid chacham. And according to the next one, or, you know, you kind of put down a Talmid Chacham, according to the second interpretation, you're mevazeh someone in front of a Talmid Chacham. Now, what does this mean? So I was thinking, okay, so people get angry at their kids here and there, right? It happens, and they might scream at them. Now, there's people who will only do that in their house, right? They won't do it in public. It'll be embarrassing, right? Or maybe they'll do it in public, but if an important, prominent figure were there, they certainly wouldn't do it, right? It would be a huge, how could you possibly do that? So that's the sense here. If you embarrass somebody in front of a Talmid Chacham, it shows that you don't really care about that Talmid Chacham. You're not respecting them. Because if you respected them, you certainly wouldn't do something like that in front of him. Bishlama, okay, now there's an assumption. Before I explain this, we're going to have to go back to the Braita we saw yesterday. It talked about an apikoros, and there was a list of people who don't get Olam Haba. And there was the apikoros, okay? And then there was the migale panim b'toha. The assumption is that migale panim b'toha, if you don't accept this assumption, then the Gemara makes no sense after, so just take my word for it. The assumption is that the migale panim b'toha is more severe than the apikoros, okay? So we're going to have to figure out, based on what interpretation you go on, how are you going to explain what migale panim b'toha is? It's also something we're not sure yet what that means. So if you say Bishlama Lamanda Amar Hamivazeh Chaveiro Bifnei Talmid Chacham is Apikoros Have, right? That the Apikoros is the one who embarrasses his friend in front of a Talmid Chacham. Then you could say Mivazeh Talmid Chacham Atzmo is the Megale Panim B'Torah Shelo Kalacha. There's a few different nuscha whether it has the word Shelo Kalacha or not. Okay, but you're Megale Panim B'Torah Shelo Kalacha Have. So if you say, like I said, the Megale Panim B'Torah is going to be more severe. So if you say that the apikoros is one who embarrasses his friend in front of a Talmid Chacham, then the more severe the Megale Panim B'Torah is going to be someone who embarrasses the Talmid Chacham himself. That's worse. But Ela Lamanda Amar Mevazeh Talmid Chacham Atzmo Apikoros Havi. But if you say that the more severe one is the apikoros, then Megale Panim B'Torah Ki Gomai. Then what is a Megale Panim B'Torah? So the Gemara answers Ki Gom Benasha Ben Chizkia. Okay, like Menashe ben Chizkiah, what did we see he did? He made fun of the Torah itself, right? Rather than those who pass on the Torah, the Talmidei Chachamim, he made fun of the Torah itself and said, right, why'd you put these psukim in the Torah? They have no purpose. That was what we dealt with yesterday. So, now, that's one whole version of this machloket. The machloket between the two parties, right, those two rabbis versus those two rabbis, was what's the definition of apikoros? Is it mevazeh talmid chacham or is it mevazeh chaveiro b'fnei talmid chacham? But some people say it's referring to the Megale Panim B'Torah and not, right, the Machloket's about the Megale Panim B'Torah. Now we're going to have to go through the whole thing again. If you say he's that, then one's going to work out, but the other one won't. So Bishlam, B'Rav Rabbi Chanina Amrei, Zeh HaMevazeh Talmid Chacham, V'Rabbi Yochanan V'Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amrei, Zeh HaMevazeh Et Chaveiro B'Fnei Talmid Chacham. So again, that's the Machloket about the Megale Panim B'Torah. Bishlama, by the way, at least this is sounding more like the typical Gemara used to, right? There's this machloket, which is a machloket about. Okay, but we won't be here for too long. Bishlama lamanda amar ha-mevazeh talmid chacham atzmo megale panim b'torah have. If you say the mevazeh talmid chacham atzmo is the megale panim b'torah, then it's obvious, because then mevazeh chaveiro b'fnei talmid chacham apikoros have. Then you go down one level. Remember, the apikoros is always a lighter thing. then we'll call him the mevazeh panim b'fnei mevazeh chaveiro b'fnei talmid chacham. But ela lamanda amar mevazeh chaveiro b'fnei talmid chacham megaleh panim b'torah have. But if you say that the megaleh panim b'torah is the less severe one, well then apikoros kigom man. So what's an apikoros going to be? And now we're going to start with a whole long list of what an apikoros is possible, possibly is. Amar of Yosef. Kigon hane da amran, mai ahanu lam rabanan, liditu kare, liditu tanu. Some people say, what's the point? What do these Talmidei Chachamim do for me? What do? They sit and they learn. They learn for themselves and they, you know, and then they teach for themselves. In other words, it's all for themselves. It has no bearing on me whatsoever. That's, okay, so it's not exactly mevazeh Talmid Chacham. It is a little bit, but it's a lighter form of levazot. It's not saying that the Torah he teaches isn't good or the Torah he learns isn't good. It's just saying it has no relevance to me. Right? This doesn't have he doesn't do anything for me. Amar le Abaye, hay megaleh panim b'Torah namihu. What are you talking about? This is exactly the same as someone who's mevazeh talmid chacham, right? How do we know this? Dichtiv im lo briti yomam v'layla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Which means what? It means that if it weren't for my brit, Yomam Valayla, which they refer to as the brit of Torah, if it weren't for my Torah, Chukot Shamayim V'aretz Lo Samti, the world would not exist, which means that if you deny that and you say the people learning has no effect on me, right? I was thinking in the context of the Haredi world, said, we're learning, right? We don't need to go to the army or we don't need to work. We're learning and that's supporting the world, right? They take this very literally. And I don't know, we have trouble understanding this literally, that that's really what it means. But it's saying, if you say that they have no relevance to me, right? Also, you can make a distinction between the average person and, you know, unique Talmidei Chachamim. So according to this, it's saying, if you deny that, you deny the Torah, which is basically like Megaleh Panim B'Torah. In which case, it's no different from an apikoros. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, mehacha nami shmami. Now you can also learn it from this pasuk, same thing. Shneimar v'nasati lechol hamakom ba'avuram. Okay, that all of it is because of them. Ela kevan diyativ kame rabe. So now we're going to explain. It must be something else. He's sitting before his rav. V'nafla leshmata b'duchta achrite, and they get to something about a different topic. Va'amar, and the student says, hachi amrinan hatam. This is what it says there about something they learned in the past. Something he learned with his rabbi, and he says, oh, this is what it says in that place. V'lo amar, hachi amar mar. And he didn't say, oh, this is what you taught me when we were at that sugya. Okay, so it's a lack of respect, but a minor lack of respect. Amar kigon, Rava amar, Rava gives a different explanation. Kigon hane de b'nei binyamin asya, those in the house of binyamin the doctor, de amre, this is what he used to say. Maya hanelam rabanan meolam lo sharulan orva velo asrulan yona. What are these rabbis doing? They're doing nothing. This is so interesting in the light of hitpatchut halacha, so to speak. Right? They're saying these rabbis have done nothing. They never matir. They didn't say I can eat an orev, and they didn't say I can't eat a yona. In other words, there's no chidushim. Anything they tell me is just what it says in the Torah. Rava ki avu maite trefata debe binyamin kamei. Now, as a result of the binyamin having said things like this, where, oh, the rabbis have no purpose, right? The rabbis are useless to me. They haven't made any kind of chidush more than what the Torah says. So when binyamin would come before him and bring a trefa and ask him to paskin on it, ki avachazi beitama lehetera amar lehu, if he had a reason to be matir this animal and allow him to eat it, he would say to Binyamin, Techsu dekasha rina lechu orva. And he used his own language, right? The rabbi used the language of Binyamin. And he said, look, I'm matir and orev to you, right? Because he said, oh, they were never matir and orev. They were never oser and yona. He says, look, I'm matir and orev. Ki avachazi letam al isur. And if he had a reason to aser it, amar lehu, techse deka asrina lechu. Yona, right? Look, I'm asering you a yona. Something you thought was mutar, and I'm making it asur. What exactly he's doing here, I think maybe he's just trying to teach him a lesson, and he's trying to say, you think we're useless, but here, right, what's interesting about this, obviously, is Binyamin obviously came to him for a question. It's not like he really thought the rabbis were useless, and he said, oh, you mock me, but look, I'm doing exactly what, right, you obviously need me, and I'm doing exactly what you said we're not doing. Rav Papa Amar, Kigon de Amar Hane Rabbanan, Kigon de Amar Hane Rabbanan. If you say those rabbis, okay, treat them without the proper form of respect. You call them those rabbis. Rapapa ishtale va'amar hane rabbanan. Okay, Rapapa was asked a question. What was this?
He forgot himself.
What do you mean he forgot himself?
He wasn't paying attention to his words.
Ah, okay. He wasn't paying attention to what he was saying. And one time he said, kigon hane rabbanan. Okay, and he said those rabbis. Ve'eti b'ta'anita, and he sat and fasted. Okay? Now, it's a good question. What happened? What was the order? Did Rav Papa say, those who say those rabbis is an apikoros, or, you know, did something wrong, and then he accidentally did it himself and then fasted? Or is it the reverse, that he did it, and as a result, after he did it, he fasted, and therefore, the rabbis inferred from here that if you say that, you're an apikoros. There's a bit of a gap between saying you shouldn't say those rabbis and fasting, then saying you're an apikoros and you don't get olam haba, right? To say then, according to this, Rav Papa wouldn't get olam haba. So it's a bit extreme, it sounds to me. Levi bar Shmuel v'Rav Huna bar Chia havu kametakne mitpachot sifrei debe Rav Yehuda. They were fixing the covers on the sifrei Torah or sifrei Nevi'im of the house of Rav Yehuda. When they got to Megillat Esther, Amre, Ha Megillat Esther lo ba'im et pachat. But Megillat Esther doesn't even need a cover. Amar lehu, so Rav Yehuda says to them, Ki agavna nami michse ki apikorta. Okay, what you're doing is like, right now here, maybe this is more similar to the Rav Papa. It's like an apikoros. It's not exactly. But it's saying that you're bordering on lack of respect. Why are they bordering on lack of respect? Because they were covering the books of Rav Yehuda. And instead of saying to him, this book doesn't need a cover, they should have said, does the rabbi think that this book need, you know, rabbi, do you think that this book doesn't need a cover? At least that's one of the interpretations. They should have asked him rather than saying it as a statement. Because they were obviously, you know, lower than him in terms of their hierarchy. Rav Nachman Amar, Zehu Kare Rabo B'Shmo. Okay, he calls his rabbi by name. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei man enash Gehazi. Why was Gehazi punished? Mipnei shekara l'rabo b'shmo. Shenemar v'yomer Gehazi, Adoni HaMelech, zot ha'isha, v'ze b'na asher hechaya Elisha. Okay, when he's talking about Elisha, he calls him Elisha rather than calling him, you know, my teacher. Gehazi was his shamash, right? He worked for him, and then the whole thing happened with Naaman, right? He ended up getting leprosy because he took all the gifts from Naaman. And then there's a bit of an issue here. What does it mean he got punished? Was he punished because he got leprosy? Because this event happened after he got the leprosy. I didn't check this all, but I saw this in a note. And then they say, well, maybe it was he didn't get healed from the leprosy or some other.
It says here that because that the leprosy wasn't a punishment because he already had that.
Right, so that was for a different punishment for taking the gifts. And
so
this was
being denied portion of the world to come?
Right. So some people say it's Olam Haba. Some people say it's that he was never healed. Right, there's different interpretations of what punishment we're referring to. Okay. Yativ Rabbi Yirmiyah kameh de Rabbi Zera. The Yativ v'ka'amar, so Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera and he said like this, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the future, God is going to lahotzi nachal mi beit kodshei kodashim. There's going to be a river that comes out from kodshei kodashim. Va'alav kol minei megadim. There's going to be all sorts of delicious foods. Shene'amar, va'ala nachal ya'aleh svato mizeh. Okay, it's a pasuk from Yechezkel. There's all these prakim near the end of Yechezkel describing in the 40s, prakim in the 40s of Yechezkel describing the future. And he says, Alanacha yalal svato mizeh umizeh, right, it's going to overflow. Kol etz ma'achal lo yibol, kol etz ma'achal, it's going to, right, there's going to be all sorts of fruit trees. Lo yibol aleyu v'lo yitom peryo, the leaves won't dry up and the fruits won't end. Lechodeshav yivaker, right, there'll constantly be new ones. Ki me'mav mina mikdash hema yotzim, okay, because the water is actually coming from the mikdash. The peyro will be to eat, and the alim will be for healing purposes. Okay. First of all, question is asked, what is Rabbi Yirmiyah darshaning? The pasuk says it explicitly, that the nachal is going to come, right? The water is going to come from the Kodesh Kodeshim. So some people say that what he was darshaning was, he was saying that this is meant to be understood literally. If you remember, we talked about this, that some people say, right, these are literally, you know, this is what's going to be. And the Rambam says, what are you talking about? There's no way that's what's going to be. It's just an image, a metaphor for what's going to be. Amar lehahu saba. So some older man was around there and said, Yasher. Ooh, what a nice thing you said. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yasher. Or maybe just V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. He also said it. Either which way, whether you read it or not, it means the same thing. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zeira, ki agavna michse apikorta. This is apikorsus. Why? What statement? Dahu saba. For some older guy to say that what Rabbi Yirmiyah said was great, what do you mean? Like, the rabbi knows what he's saying is good. Like, what do you need some random guy to say, oh, that's great? Like, who are you to say, you know, that's great? That's apikorsus, because it's also, again, not the way we think of an apikorsus. You see, there's many different interpretations here of what exactly it means. So Amar Leh, Rabbi Zeira says to him, why do you think that's apikorta? Ha siyua kamasayalach. Right? And that's, he was just trying to, right? Anyone who gives a good shiur, it's nice when you walk out and somebody says to him, what a nice shiur you gave. In other words, even if they're a big, important rabbi, it's nice to get positive feedback from your students. So in this case, right, there was this big rabbi making a drasha, and he said, that's such a nice idea, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's not embarrassing. It's not demeaning. It's actually a nice thing. So what's the issue? So he says, Ela ishmi alach hashmi alach. But if you want to say something along those lines, I'll give you a different example. Ki hadi yativ Rabbi Yochanan v'darish. Rabbi Yochanan was darshaning like this. Atira kadosh baruch hu, we actually learned this in Bava Batra, l'havi avanim tovot u'margaliot, shehen shloshin al shloshim amot. Right? God's going to bring these huge stones in the future that are 30 by 30 amas. V'chokek bahen eser berum esrim, and he's going to carve out 10 by 20, u'mamidam b'sharei Yerushalayim, and that's how the sharim of Yerushalayim in the future are going to be. By the way, I meant to specify in Yechezkel, it's all a description of the third Beit HaMikdash, basically. So this is describing now, this is another drashat. He's going to say, he's going to bring these big avanim that are 30 by 30, carve out 10 by 20 to be the Shar of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, okay, and here's another pasuk from, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. V'samti kadkod, Kadkod shim shotayich usharayich lavnei egdach. Okay, so here what do we have? I'm going to make your windows out of rubies and your sharim, your gates, of this type of even called an even egdach. So there you see, right, that it's all going to be created out of this stone. Liglega lavoto tamid. Okay, the tamid now starts to mock him. And this is where he's saying, this is really an apikorsus. Okay, this is apikorta, not what you thought before. Amar hashcha kebe'ata ditzilzala lomashkechinan. We can't even find stones the size of a bird's egg nowadays. Okay, kule haimashkechinan. You're going to find some stone that's 30 by 30 amma. That's huge. Liamim. Okay, now what's interesting here is he doesn't get punished at this point. And the Mefreshim asks, we're going to see the story continues, and only then does he get punished. But it's a good question why he didn't get punished at this point and only later. Liyamim, later in some future point, hifliga svinato bayam, chazinu lemalachei asharei tekamenasrei avanim tovot umargaliot. Okay, he went in the svina, right? He went, this is classic, right? You only know what you know of from your hometown, right? From your Dalet Amot. One day, this guy went out of his Dalet Amot, he went on a boat, and according to the story, right, these malachim showed him, but really, what does it mean? He saw something, right? He saw that there's other things in the world, right? We know there's stones bigger than the size of a bird's egg. Obviously, where he lived, it's hard to find stones that were bigger. But the malachim showed him that they were sanding them, they were cutting them,
probably carving.
Carving them, carving is probably the right word. Avanim tovodu margaliot. Amar lehu hane leman. He said, "What are these for?" Amar atira kadosh amrei. They said to him, "Atira kadosh baruch hu lamidam b'sharei Yerushalayim." Okay, God's going to use these, right? He saw these huge avanim. Ki hadar, when he came back, eshkachel Rabbi Yochanan de yate bekadarish. He found Rabbi Yochanan learning. Amar le Rebbe drosh, ulachana eli drosh. He said, wow, Rabbi, you should keep darshaning. Okay, now you see, it's the same type as the thing he said, right? This is why they say it. The last guy also said, yasher, oh, you're great. But now this is a different type. Because what happens here when he says, oh, you're great, right? When you're such a, it's, he didn't think so previously. He only thought so once he realized the truth, you know, and he saw that it was actually true. Before that, he mocked him. So now he says, right, and here he says, why is it so great for you, Lidrosh? Kashem sha'amarti kach ra'iti, sha'amarta kach ra'iti. Just like you said, I saw. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yochanan says to him, reka, you empty person. Im lo ra'ita, lo ha'emanta, right? So, what if you hadn't seen? So everything I say, you're only going to believe it if you see it? You have to trust me, that I know more than you, right? That if I say things, you have to go check me out. Yes, exactly. It's also a theological statement, obviously, right? It's the classic crisis, right? How can you believe in God if you don't see him, you don't know him?
It's like our definition.
Yafeh, we're right, which is our definition of avikoros. You don't really believe in God, right? Exactly. So, lo ra'ita lo hamata, yafeh. So, milagleg al debrei chachamim ata. Okay, now he says you're mocking the words of the chachamim. End to the story. Yahav ve'ene, right? He looks at him, va'asa'o gal shel atzamot, and he became a hump of bones, okay? Basically, he looked at him and killed him. We've seen this before. It always reminds me of that game Killer, you know, where people look and you, it's like some kid's game you play where if you look, you kill the person, you know, and maybe the source of that game was the rabbis who looked at people and they were dead, okay? If eyes could kill. Tov. So, here you see. So, again, now, why didn't, right, the Mefarshim ask and they answer questions, but it's quite obvious why he wasn't punished earlier when he didn't believe him. Because it's one thing not to believe, but it's another when you believe only when you see, in other words, and then it's that same, you know, first of all, they were looking for a case where somebody would say, oh, you're great, right, but only just like the previous case. And then, right, so he wanted to find this case where someone said, oh, you're great, but it's only because he believes in him only when it's proven, and that's not a good way to go. Meitive. Now we have a koshi on... right. So according to this, we said that it's going to be, right, this shahr of 30 by 30. And now we're going to talk about... Right, what Rabbi Yochanan said. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan said he's going to bring these things that are 30 by 30 and the gate is going to be 20 by 10. Okay? 20 amot by 10 amot. So now we have a contradiction to this drasha because it says va'olech etchem koma miyut. Okay, this is in Bayikra, and what does it mean koma miyut? So Rabbi Meir Omer, right? Mataim ama kishtei komot shel adam arishon. Koma miyut means two komot. Two komot means we're going to take the height of adam arishon and double it. Okay, and what was the height of adam arishon? 100 ama. So people are going to be right. Olech etchem koma miyut. It's going to be two komot, okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kuf ama, keneged hechal v'kotalav. Okay, it's going to be, one second. Right, what it means, right. V'olechot en komiyut means I'm going to walk you back with your full height. So they're talking about what's going to be the full height of people in the time of Mashiach when they go back to the third Beit HaMikdash. So what's it going to be? So either it's going to be 200 amma, or they're going to be 100 amma tall. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda says they're going to be 100 amma tall, keneged the hechal and the walls. Shenemar, asher baninu kinitiim gudalim benurehem, benotenu kizaviyot mechutavot tavnit hechal. They said the people are going to be like the plan of the hechal. So now, how could it be that they're going to be, Rabbi Yochanan says, the gates are going to be 10 by 20, right? It's only going to be, let's say, 20 amo tall, when the people are going to be either 100 or 200 amo tall. They're not going to fit through the gate. So what do we answer? We saw this all in Bava Batra, by the way. Ki ka'amar b'yachanan l'chaved be'zika, for the windows. Okay, we're talking about the height of the windows, not the height, right? They're going to carve out these stones. It's going to be for the windows and not for the actual height. Mai va'aleu l'trufa. Now, going back to that pasuk, it said at the end of the pasuk that your alim are going to be for a trufa, this is all the way back to the first one about Rabbi Yirmiyah, that when you go, right, the nachal is going to come out, and there's going to be all these fruit trees, and the leaves are going to be for refuah. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi v'Rab Chista Chan amar lahatir peshal mala, which means the upper mouth, which means a regular mouth, which is meaning mutes are going to be able to speak. V'chan amar lahatir peshal mata, which is barren women. Okay, they look at the neivar of a woman as a peh. Itmar nami chizkia amar lahatir peh elmin, bar kapara amar lahatir peh akarot. Same thing, same achlok. Rabbi Yochanan amar litrufa mamash, really for a real trufa. My litrufa, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar litor panim shaba'ale hapeh. Okay, for the faces of those who speak. Okay, it's a notricon. Trufa toar panim ba'ale hapeh. Okay, it's one of those, right? You take each letter and it kind of makes a word, even though it doesn't work perfectly, but it's be'erech. Okay, which means, who's the ba'ale peh? That's the rabbis. And the rabbis are going to be beautiful. They're going to be made beautiful. Those are the ba'ale peh. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Simon. Kol ha'mashchir panav al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mafhik zivuyo la'olam haba. Shne'emar mar'eu k'livanom b'chur ka'arazim. Okay, you need to know the end of the pasuk, which is chiko mamtakim. What is chiko mamtakim? It means his palate is full of sweets. Whose palate is full of sweets? That's someone who speaks Torah. Torah is compared to mamtakim. So those whose palates are sweet are going to be, they're going to look like the livanon. Now, what's this mashchir panim? The assumption is that rabbis learn so much that their faces blacken. Okay, I don't know what exactly, you know, it's from hard work. Their faces don't look so good, so that's going to be the reward in the olam haba, that they're going to be shiny and not blackened. Amar Rabbi Tanchum bar Rabbi Chanilai. Kol ha-mar'iv atzmo al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Okay, anyone who starves himself for divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be ola olam haba. In other words, if you don't eat so much, okay, don't take this literally, but if you don't eat so much and just learn Torah, right, then you'll be satiated in the olam haba. Shne'emar yirvayum mideshem beitecha v'nachal adanecha tashkem. Okay, you have to look at what it says before. It says ma yakar chastecha Hashem, which means they translate ma yakar not as yakar valuable, but how difficult are chaste Hashem and chesed not as chesed but as Torah. So how difficult is the Torah of Hashem? And therefore, your vayu mideshem beitecha v'nachal adanecha tashkem in the future, right? You'll get everything you want. Ki atar avdimi amar. Atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein lechol tzadik v'tzadik male omso. Okay, in the future, God should give every tzadik a full, he's going to give him a full handful of God. Okay, a handful of good from God. Shne'emar Baruch Hashem yom yom ya'amas lanu ha'el shoratenu sela. Okay, Hashem will give them in the future omes, like a handful. Amar le Abaye, v'chi yashar lo markein? Can you really say that tzadikim are going to get a handful of God in the future? V'lo kvar ne'emar, mi bada b'shalomayim v'shamayim b'zeret tikein. Doesn't it say, it's Pasuk in Yeshayahu, that you can't even measure out, right? It's God is so awesome, right? And Shamayim b'zeret tikein, that he created the Shamayim with his pinky. You know, like the pinky of God is like all of the sky. So think about it. How can God possibly give the tzadikim a handful of God? Think about how massive a handful of God is. Amar, my time, alo shchicha ba'agadita, da'amre, why are you learning agadita? Okay, now this is what he says. When he asked him this question, Abaye asked him, Rabbi Yosef, this question, how could you say a handful of God? So he says to him, Abaye, why don't you spend your time learning agadita? Da'amre b'marava mishmei d'rava bar meri, atir kadosh baruch hu liten lechol tzadik v'tzadik, gimu me'ot v'asara olamot. If you learned Agadita, you would know this, that God is going to give the tzaddikim in the future 310 worlds. That's pretty big, right? God can give such a huge amount to the tzaddikim. Shenemar, lanchil ohava yesh, v'otzrotehem amalei. Okay, based on this pasuk, right, I'm going to give nachala to my ohavim. And what does it say there? The word yesh. And yesh b'gematria, tlat me'avas sarahave. Okay, this is just good facts to know. This appears in the last Mishnah of Amar Rabbi Shulam ben Levi, Atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'anchil l'chot tzadik v'tzadik 310 alamot, sh'ne'amar l'anchil ova yesh v'otzrotehem amalei. Okay? It's a bit of a problem there because Rabbi Shulam ben Levi lived later than the Mishnah, and if you look, like in the Albuk, he says, v'kol ha'mishnah hi tosefet me'ucheret, which is actually strange, that the last Mishnah in Shas is actually a later, right? It was something that was added later. Okay? And that's why here it's not brought as if it's a Mishnah, right? It's brought a statement of an Amora, which is strange, though, because it ends the last Mishnah of Uksin. Why is the last Mishnah of Uksin famous? Because if you ever do a Siyum Shas, it's the last Masechet of Shas. So it's something that you might hear here and there. So, okay. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, B'midasha Adam Moded Modedim Lo. Okay, in the measurement that people do, that's what he will get. Dichtiv B'sasa'a B'shalcha Tirivena, which means according to the measure, B'shalcha Tirivena, you'll send her away, like you contend with her according to its measure. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, V'chi Afshar Lo Marken, Adam Noten Malo Amso La'ani Bo'olam Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noten Lo Malo Amso La'olam Haba, Ha'aktiv, Shamayim B'zeret Tikein. In other words, do you want to say that if you give a handful to an ani in Olam Hazeh, so God's going to give you a handful back, right? And a handful of God is huge, like we just said. V'ata, Iomer Ken, Ezo Himidav, one second. I think he's saying, this is the response. One second. Right, so now he answers him and he says, V'ata, Iomer Ken, Ezo Himidam Ruba, Midatovam Ruba, or Midapornu. So now he says to him back, he says, why are you asking me a question? What can God give you? Can God really reward you? If you give a handful to an ani, God will reward you with a huge, huge handful in Olam Haba. So he answers him and he says like this, what's going to be bigger? Midat Tova or Midat Puranut? Have Omer, Midat Tova, Rubam and Midat Puranut. Right? Midat Tova is going to be greater than Midat Puranut. So here he's going to prove to him that yes, if you give an ani a handful, it's very likely you're going to get a huge handful in return. Why is that? B'midat Tova k'tiv, Vayitzav shchakim mimal, V'zdaltei shamayim patach, Vayamtera lehem man le'echo. Okay, so now what happens? How do we know that Midat Tova is Merubah Midat Poranut? Because when God wanted to give us the man, what did he do? He opened up the skies, right? And he poured down the man. U'b'midat Poranut, Omer, va'arubot ha'shamayim niftachu. Right, the wind, right, when the Mabul came, God opened it through a window. Okay, or what's the exact translation of arubot? Call it a window? Okay. So the windows of the sky open, meaning, right, when he wanted to pour down rain of good stuff, he opened all the skies. When he wanted to pour down bad stuff, he opened just a window. So now that proves, so far, we've only proven that Midat Tova is greater than Midat Poranut. And B'Midat Poranut, now we're going to show, how do we know that God is going to be able to give a huge handful in all... Because in Olam Haba, because b'midat poranut k'tiv, v'yetzu v'ra'u b'pigrei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi. Okay, and you're going to go out and see, this is a nivu'ah of Yeshayahu when he's talking about all these non-Jews in the future are going to come to the Beit HaMikdash and worship God, and they're going to go out and see b'pigrei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi. They're going to see the people, the dead bodies of the people who did bad, you know, who didn't go in the way of God. And what's going to be with those people? Something miraculous is going to happen. Ki tola atam lo tamut, the worms that are crawling around in the bodies aren't going to die. Ve'isham lo tichbe, and their fire is not going to go out. V'hayu dera'on l'chol basar. In other words, these bodies, normally the bodies decompose, these aren't going to decompose, and they're going to basically be a showcase. Right? You imagine like in the Museum of Natural History, where you have all these all dead animals, like, you're going to have these bodies kind of preserved in order for everybody to see. Behalo adam moshit etzba'o ba'or ba'olam hazeh miyad nechveh. Ve'elach Hashem shenoten HaKadosh Baruch Hu koch rishayim lekabel poranutam, kach noten HaKadosh Baruch Hu koch tzadikim lekabel tovatan. Okay, so just one minute. This thing about the adam moshit etzba'o is... Right, if somebody put... right. In other words, what they're saying here, I forgot, right? I didn't really point out the Aish. There's going to be a fire that's going to be burning these bodies, but they're actually not going to burn. They're going to still survive. So it's kind of like the Kivshana Aish image. So now they're saying, if someone in Olam Hazeh would put his finger in a fire, it immediately gets burned. So what do you see here? And yet, there's going to be this huge fire, and they're not going to burn the bodies. So therefore, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make Koch B'Rasha'im L'Kabel Poranutan, give them strength to basically accept their Poranut and have it last a very long time so everyone can see, Kach Noten HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koch Tzadikim L'Kabel Tovatan. So therefore, if you do give it ani money in this world, you'll get a huge amount in Olam Haba. Right, again, all this is images to, going with the Rambam. This isn't actually going to happen, like it says. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af HaKore B'Sfarim HaChitzoniim. Okay, back to the Mishnah. So we had the Apikoros. Now we're getting two. Now we talked about Tchiana Meitim for a while. We talked about Apikoros. Now we're getting two. Even someone who reads B'Sfarim HaChitzoniim. Okay, what are Sfarim HaChitzoniim? Okay, does this mean any secular books, right? Does it mean? So the general assumption is that we're talking about books that were potentially going to be canonized when they decided what books are going to be part of the Tanakh and what books aren't. That it was the ones that were options, right? They were up there. And not just any early books or any other books. But we'll see. There's a bit of a different opinion here. Tana says, right, there's a Braita that says, B'sifreit Stokim. Not Stokim, but Stokim, which most people say is early Christian literature. Okay? Books that were written by the early Christians, because that really, you know, fits in with the Apikoros theme, right? It's going against our Torah. Rav Yosef Omer, B'sefer ben Sira Nami Asra L'mikre. He says, also, Sefer ben Sira, it's forbidden to read. Okay? Now we're going to have a whole debate about Sefer ben Sira. Okay? Sefer ben Sira was a book that was written in the same time. And the biggest problem with Rav Yosef is what? He says it's forbidden to read Sefer ben Sira. However, what's the issue? And if you remember, we come across ben Sira. Where have we come across it? The rabbis sometimes quote from it. So how can the rabbis quote from it if it's a sur to read it? Okay? So some people say that it's not actually a sur to read, even though the wording says mikre, okay, which is, makes this interpretation difficult. But what he means is it's a sur to consider it as a sefer kodesh. In other words, you can't consider it, right? You can read it, but you can't say, oh, this is Torah. Okay? Now, why would you think Sefer ben Sira is Torah? We're going to see a bunch of things. And then we're going to compare it to Psukim and Mishlei. It very much sounds like, right, some people even call it Chochmat ben Sira. It was like Mishlei, where he gives all these comments about life and, you know, little psukim, very similar to the style. To me it seems like a better, right, the Steinsaltz says this, it appears in the Koran, that Sefer ben Sira, Asur L'mikre, means that you can't consider it as a book of Tanakh. Amale Abai, my time. What's the reason, Abai, he asked Rav Yosef, right? Abai is always questioning Rav Yosef. He says, what's the reason? Ilema, if you want to say, Mishum de Katavba, Lo Tintosh Gildana Me Udne, don't flay the skin of a fish from its ear, De Lo Lezal Mashche Lachavla, because you're going to ruin the skin if you do it that way. Ella, Sale Yate Binura, you should roast it in the fire, Be'echal Be Tartin Gritzen, and you should eat it with two loaves of bread. And he's telling you how to skin a fish without ruining the skin. Okay? Otherwise, you'll ruin the skin and it won't, you know, it'll be wasteful. So, imipashte, if you want to say, this is the pshat of what he's saying, Boraita Nami Katav, Lo Tashchit, right? It says, right? Kitatzor Yamim Rabim, right? Lo Tashchit et Eitzal Lindoach Ala Ergazem, right? Don't ruin the trees when you come to conquer a land. So, here you see, right? Lo tashchit et etzah, don't cut its trees. That's bal tashchit. And that's the same thing Ben Sira is saying. So you can't say that. And if you want to say midrasha, he's talking about a drasha, orech ara kamashmalan. Okay, what's the drasha? That you shouldn't do things in an atypical manner. What's it going to be referring to? Bia shalo kedarka. Okay, that you shouldn't have sex in the anal sex, basically, instead of regular sexual relations. So he says, again, that's something that we know also. In other words, all these things, right? Okay? And therefore, we already know that also. The elamishum. So now, it's not about skinning the fish, pasuk. So what Abai is going to do is, he's basically going through all sorts of psukim, which, by the way, if he says you can't read it, then why is he going through these psukim, right? It's like, you say, don't think of pink elephants, that's all you have in your head, right? We say, don't read Ben Sira, so it's going to encourage people to read it. Obviously encouraged Abai to see what's inside that is so forbidden. The elamishum dichtiv, bat la'avia matmonet shav. A daughter to a father is a bad trap, I guess, or
false treasure.
False treasure. Okay, that's what it is. It's a treasure, not a trap. Is a false treasure. Okay, mipachda lo yisham balayla. Okay, from out of fear, you're going to lose sleep over this daughter of yours. Okay? Bikatz nuta, shematit bate. You're worried when she's young, someone's going to seduce her. Binarota, when she's a nara, shematizne. Maybe she'll, on her own, decide to go and do znut. Big bogra, once she gets older, shemalotinase, you're going to worry maybe she's not going to get married. Niset, shemaloyulabaniv. Once she's married, you're going to worry maybe she won't have children. Hiskina, once she gets older, get this one, shematasek shafim, maybe she's going to become, get involved in witchcraft. So if you want to say that that's the pasuk, that, you know, this doesn't sound like a great pasuk, even though, right, first of all, this would also be relevant to, you know, this is, parents worry about their children, right, never sleep. When they have children in general, right? They're always worried about the next thing. But this is specifically targeting girls and then women. So they say, but HaRabbanan Nami Amrua, our rabbis also said this, believe it or not. Okay, we've seen this before. Eifshar la'olam b'lo zecharim u'b'lo nekevot, right? The world can't survive without both men and women, both males and females. Ashrei mi shebanav zecharim, oylo lemi shebanav nekevot. In other words, right, even though we need females in the world, better, right, it's much better life for a person if they have only males. Okay, and that's for these reasons, obviously, is what they're trying to say. Ela mishum dichtiv, okay, by the way, we saw that line in Baba Batra and in any Kiddushin, and it also came up in Pesachim. I believe there we must have talked about, because I remember this whole thing about not sleeping at night, they must have referenced this Gemara there. Ela mishum dichtiv lo ta'il davya belibcha, don't have anxiety. Digavre givrin katal, it's killed. Okay, anxiety has killed many strong men. Davya hashlama. One second. Oh, sorry. Katal davya. Sorry. Digavre gavrin katal davya, because there were many great people that were killed from stress. So anxiety. So if you say that, Hashlomo Amara, Shlomo Melech also said this, Daga b'lev ish yashchena. Okay, worry in a person's heart will yashchena. We'll see what this means in a minute. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Charamar yisichena midato. It will, right, make his mind wander and he won't be able to get anything done because he'll be worrying all the time. V'charamar yisichena la'achirim. He'll talk about it to others and that will help it. Right, help his problems go away. Right, it's one of, right, go to a psychologist and go talk it out, a therapist. Right, in other words, or even to your friends, and that will help you relieve the anxiety. Right, so one is talking about the result that will happen, and the other is talking about how you resolve the issue. But either which way, right, or really according to the first one, it will make you, right, don't, in other words, anxiety is bad. Ela ve'ela mishum dekatav mana rabim mitoch beitcha. Make sure you don't bring a lot of people into your house. Rabbi also said this. It says that, in other words, if you have too many friends, they're going to cause you to be weakened. The assumption is that you're going to, that friends sometimes causes fighting, right? Who do you get into the most issues with? Sometimes your closest friends. So, according to this theory, what?
Not true, family.
It's not necessarily true, and it's also not true, right? There's lots of other ways of seeing this, but they say don't have associations with too many people. It'll lead to bad. Ela mishum dichtiv. Again, you can argue whether this is good or not, but, you know, true or not, but that's what they say. Ela mishum dichtiv. Now we're going to get to the real answer, okay? All those we can find in our tradition, either in the Torah or eventually where the Ketuvim, or eventually, right, the last one, they say, well, Atana said it, Rebbe. Ela mishum dichtiv, Zaldikan, a sparse-bearded man, is kortaman, is a clever one. Abdikan, if you have a thick beard, sachsachan, he's a fool. Dinapith pakase, someone who blows on his cup, lo tzache, will not be thirsty. Amar b'may achalachma, if somebody says, with what am I going to eat my bread, and he starts debating, should I dip it in this, should I dip it in that? Lachma savmine, take his bread away from him, because he's obviously not so hungry, according to Rashi. If he's talking about debating, he must not even be that hungry. Okay, so now the assumption is that all of these things are external indicators, right? You have a thick beard, you have a thick beard, you have a this, right? That indicates what kind of a person you are. That's not something we believe in, that external appearances determine your personality. First of all, it's not good for people to, it causes people to be judgmental. And also about yourself, you'll assume that you're stuck in that, you know, there's nothing you could do about it, which really is all about right? Determinism. Yeah, that's the way of the term. Mm-hmm. Right, that everything is predetermined and there's nothing you could do about it. And that makes a lot of sense then to say, that's in Sefer Ben Sira, we can't accept it. Mandi itle ma'avarta bidikne. Someone who has there's one more. Someone who has a part in his beard. Kule alma lo yachlele. Nobody will ever be able to go against him. And he's a smart guy. What's the assumption? He's thinking all the time and he's pulling out the hairs of his beard. I'm Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, Mile ma'al yata di ipuhu. Tarshina lehu. No, there's good things in the book. Isha tova matana tova. B'chek yirei Elohim tinaten. A good woman is a good gift. Okay? B'chek yirei Elohim tinaten. She will be given to a yirei shamayim. Okay? This is against the, right, matzah isha, matzah rami, marmi mavet, right, all that? Okay. Isha ra'at, sarat lebala. A bad woman is like leprosy to her husband. Mai takante, what should he do? Yigarshena mi beitovi yitrape mitzarato. Okay, he should chase her out of his house and he will be cured and divorce her. Isha yafa, ashrei ba'ala, mispar yamav kiflayim. Okay, that's right. Isha yafa, beautiful woman, which means beautiful on the inside also, then her husband will be blessed and he'll live twice as long. Maybe this has to do with the anxiety, right, causing problems. He won't have so much anxiety. Ha'alem einecha me'eshet chen, pein tilake b'mitzudata. Okay, you should not look at other women, right, eshet chen, like a woman with grace. Pen tilakei b'mitzudata, you might fall into a trap. Al tat etzal ba'ala, don't stay away from her husband. Limsochi moyayim v'shechar, kibitori isha yofya, rabim hushchitu, v'atzumim kol harugeha. Because if you go in wine with her husband, you'll end up being in the presence of the wife, and, you know, beautiful women have killed many, you know, destroyed many people. Rabim hayu pitzei rochel. Okay, a peddler has many pitzaim. Why? The assumption is we talked about a rochel before. He goes around selling besamim and he has a lot of interactions with women. And therefore he gets into fights with the husband. The husband gets angry at the rochel and beats him up. And that's why he has a lot of pitzaim. Hamargilim lidvar erva. Kinitzotz, right there, they get used to divrei erva. Kinitzotz mabir gachele, kikluv malei of. Came batehem aleim mirma. Okay, their houses are just like a cage has birds and an itzotz, a spark causes a fire. Their houses are full of mirma, trickery and znut. Okay, tov. I think we'll stop here. We'll continue in the Ma'arim of Ben Sira and we'll finish up with that tomorrow.